You slipped on the ice? Just out here? I hate that because once you go, it's like,
yeah.
It's like a split second, and you're like, you okay?
Yeah. Fine.
The worst thing you do is you think, some people like automatically think about catching themselves, yeah. But it's bad for your wrist,
yeah.
Because that's a lot of weight. Not, you know, there's a lot of force, a lot of force. Let me rephrase that. A lot of force going down. A lot of people, when they go snowboarding, they try to catch themselves, and a lot of people break their wrists.
Yeah. No, but I broke my wrist riding a scooter.
Oh, really? I've had not this storm, but a guy where I work with, he slipped on the ice, and he broke his wrist. Yeah. All right, so from what I heard is that you guys just finished up last week in John, right? What? I've got this lesson all wrong.
Wasn't it like Matthew 22:15-34?
Yeah.
So we're on 34.
I don't know. I don't have my notebook
at home. Oh, I'll go get it. We'll wait. It's a little far. So we're in 34, right? So what happened last week when you guys finished up? It starts off it's a continuation of where you guys finished off. So people were asking Jesus questions, right?
Yeah.
And so there was a Sadducee, right? He asked a question. So Jesus answered that question, kind of silencing him. You know, putting him in, it's like, okay, yeah, I do know the answer to that, and you're wrong, and I'm right. So we'll start off in verse 34. Haley, can you read that?
Sadducees.
All right, so there's two different religious groups at this time, religious leaders at this time. So there are the Pharisees and there are the Sadducees, right? So they're not together. You know, sometimes we just kind of lump them in together. You know, they were the religious leaders, or the main focus religion at that time. But there was differences between them. They had differences of opinion on, the main difference of opinion was a supernatural difference of opinion. As far as the Pharisees, they believed in angels, they believed in the demons, they believed in heaven and hell. But the Sadducees, they didn't really believe in the angels and the supernatural part of religion. So they're kind of at odds. Right? So they probably didn't really get along, you think? They were probably like frenemies. You know, they had some, you know, common interests, but they were different. So they were probably a little bit stoked, a little happy. Oh, look at Sadducees. They just blew it. So they came together because the Sadducees, you know, were silenced. And they were probably thinking, oh, they couldn't do it, but watch me. I'm smarter. We're smarter. We'll ask the proper question. We'll ask the question, well, we'll finally stump this guy named Jesus, right? So we read on in 35. 35, and let's go through 36. Yeah. Yeah. Matthew 22:35-36.
That upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth from the blood of righteous.
Is that 22?
I think so. Right. 22.
Chapter 22.
35. 35? 35 right there.
23.
Oh, it might be 23.
Yeah, you're on 23. No, so it's this way. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. You know, those chapters go quick, so one page, you could skip like 3 chapters. All right, so a lawyer, right? So who would the lawyer at this time be? Anyone? Any speculation? Any thoughts? So it says a lawyer. So what is he talking about? What you know, if somebody, you know, what do you know about this person? You know he's a lawyer. So what would that tell you about this person?
He likes to argue.
He likes to argue. That'd be probably true.
Smart.
He's smart. He's book smart, right?
Yeah.
He's book smart. So he's been studying his whole life, probably a straight A student, right? Gets upset if he gets a B, you know, type of those type of people. But he's been studying the book of Moses, meaning the Old Testament. He's been studying that probably his whole life. His parents probably started him off. And he's been studying this. He memorizes it. He feels like he knows the law. He knows the law. So they brought in this lawyer, or they have this lawyer ask Jesus a question, is because what they're trying to do is trying to stump him. Try to figure out if Jesus can't answer a question. Right? So they're going through this. And this is all just, like I said, just trying to trip him up or to see what he actually knows. And then he asks them the question, of course, what is the greatest commandment in the law? So we know that there's how many commandments are like the first thing that comes to mind. 10 commandments, right? We all know the 10 commandments. We can find when they first talk about the 10 commandments, in Exodus, let's keep our finger or something in Matthew. Exodus 20. So this is right after the reason this book is called Exodus is because they were exiting Egypt, right? So that's Exodus. So this is right after they exited Egypt, and Moses went up on the mountain and brought down this tablet, these stone tablets, what these commandments were written on, right? Do we need to go? Let's go ahead and go. Let's go through these commandments. So that'd actually be chapter 20, verse 2. Through 17, we go through all 10 commandments. Elena, would you like to? We could split it up if we want, or you could just read them. If you like reading them all?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Yeah, starts with 3.
For in the 6 days of the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's.
All right, so out of those commandments, the lawyer's asking, what is the greatest? What is the greatest commandment? What do you guys think? I mean, you might have an inkling what Jesus said, or you might read ahead, but what do you think? What'd be the answer? Huh?
Take the Lord's name in vain.
Take the Lord's name in vain, right? Anybody else? Three of you. You guys all have different opinions, right? Or no?
Doesn't he say one
that's on there? Yes and no. He does. Yes, he does. So, you don't want to answer then, right?
Well, I think I know.
You think you know?
Do a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Haley? Don't take your neighbor's donkey. That's probably pretty important, right? All right, so we go back to Matthew. We'll see what Jesus answers. And that's in verse 37. And let's go ahead and go through 40. Haley?
Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Love him with all your mind. This is the first and most important commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Everything that is written in the law and the prophets is based on these two commandments."
All right, so if you break down, and what I mean, yes and no, as far as different commandments, is because if you break down the 10 commandments, if you go through the first four commandments, that's all about loving God. It's all about, if you keep those four commandments, it's about loving God. And if you love God, you don't keep those commandments. So love is what actually fulfills the law. Our love fulfills the law, because if we love him, we're not going to use his name in vain, right? Which is very important. You're right, not to use the name in vain. And if you love him, you're not going to have any other God before him. You're not going to worship any other God. You know, you don't keep him as your one true God. So those first four commandments are very important. They're most important, because God has to come first. But then he also adds the second commandment, is love your neighbor. And same thing, is love fulfills the law. So those next six commandments, if you loved your neighbor, you wouldn't be taking his donkey away from him, right? If you love your neighbor, you wouldn't murder him. So love completes all six of the last commandments. So Jesus answers and actually gives more than what they asked for, right? He gives them and tells them, this fulfills the law, all these commandments. So, and then while their Pharisees are still there, you know, Jesus asks them the question, starts to ask them a question. And let's go ahead and read 41. Sorry, it's been a while, and sometimes I'm horrible with names.
It's Kiana.
Kiana. I knew it. Yeah. I knew it was like that, but I was Kaylee for some reason. Okay. Kiana.
Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. Keep going.
Yeah.
Saying, "What do you think about the Christ, whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David."
Right. Go ahead and stop there. So I asked them, what do you think of Christ? You know, because they all know the Pharisees were all about the law, right? They're all about the law. So they'd know who Messiah was, and, you know, they asked, whose son is he? He said, the son of David, right? So we all know, or well, if you don't know, is that the Messiah was coming from the lineage of King David. So meaning that, you know, Mary was David's relation, or was related to David. So Jesus did come from the lineage, or the, you know, a relative of David. You know, it was a long list, but he did come from David. So they say, so it's kind of rightly so, but they say the son of David. Then let's continue on in 43. Elena, do you want to? Let's go to 43 through 44. All right, so he's asked a second part to this question. It's because, so if the son, if it's just the son of David, why does he call him Lord, right? And he quotes Psalms 110. So let's turn to Psalms 110. I already had my, we'll be going back in Matthew. But. So 110. And let's go ahead and read verses 1. It just has verse 1, but let's go ahead and include verse 2. Brendan, can you read that?
The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies.
All right, so in Psalms, there is a lot of prophecy. And maybe the most important thing about Psalms is the prophecy. The prophecy of the coming Messiah, the prophecy about Jesus, of who he is and when he was going to come and everything that was going to happen. It's all there. It all spells it out that it could only be God doing all this. But, so if we look here and we kind of dissect it a little bit, in Psalms, the very first verse, it says, the Lord is my Lord. Do you see anything difference between those when it's written down in your Bible there? Yeah, what?
First it's the Lord is not like all capitalized, and then the other Lord is just
the L capitalized, right? All right, so does anybody know why the first Lord is all capitalized? Similar. No, you're on the right path. You are on the right path. It's not really just a respect, but when you see all capitalized Lord, what that is the proper name of God. The proper name of God. Because when they're writing this, or, well, actually, where they get this from, how do I start this? The Pharisees, at the very beginning, the early church, Moses and everything, they were probably using God's name, you know, it's fine. But the Pharisees, they got really hypersensitive about the word. And what they tried to do is they put, there was no vowel points in Hebrews at that time. So the proper name of God was YHWH. How do you try to pronounce that? So there's no vowel points. So they left these vowel points out so that nobody could speak the word of God, And a lot of people feel like it goes back to the third commandment. The third commandment is not using the Lord's name in vain, because he won't find you guiltless if you do. Which is very important, is you shouldn't be using God's name, you know, blasphemy or whatever. It's very bad. It's very bad. But the Pharisees took it to a very strict thing. It's like, I don't even want you getting close, so I don't want you speaking the Lord's name in vain. There's only one time of the year you could actually say his name, and he has to be all proper. So it's kind of, in a sense, and they didn't want anybody to misuse it, or they didn't want the Gentiles to know it. So if you see the all capitalized, that is the proper name of God. Most people, most scholars, I think they're pretty much locked on Yahweh. It's the proper name of God. You know, some people will go extra thing and think, well, translation is Jehovah. We're not positive, but we believe it's Yahweh. Now, the second Lord has a capital L, right? So second Lord means master, a title of deity, right? R is just the beginning of the sentence. It says Lord. Because if you do a lowercase Lord, that means a human ruler. So we're dealing with a couple of different things. And so is the Lord, proper name of God, says to my Lord, is a deity, sits at my right hand. Right? So the right hand, and I think I talked about this, I think Kiana wasn't here, but I talked about this, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago or so. But what's the right hand? What would it mean by the right hand? What would you be able to tell by the right hand, my right hand?
You're a right-hander.
When it says seat at my, maybe I should put it, sit at my right hand. So you're on sit right here, right? Because this is my right hand. So you're going to be sitting right here. What does that mean? What does that place mean?
Like,
you are special. That is like the best seat in the house, right? Then the left is the second. But the right hand, they like, if you were having a dinner party, if you were sitting at the host table and you were at the right hand, that'd be like, you were it, right? You were special. You were the top dog besides the host, right? So we know it's very special. And then it says, till the enemies are your footstools. Our footstools. So, King David, this great king of Israel, would he be calling one of his offspring master, our Lord? Would it make sense to him to call him, you know, just a human, just, you know, his grandson, hey, master? Would it make sense? Probably wouldn't make sense, right? So what this would mean is that Jesus, the son of David, is God. That he is God. He's actually God. You know, he is a descendant of David and therefore makes him human, but he is also a deity. He's still God. You know, sorry. And then to put the enemies on the footstool, Paul writes later in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 25 through 27. Kiana, did we leave off on you, or did we? Did you read last?
I think so.
Brendan? He hasn't had much chance. Let's let him read. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 25 through 27. All right, so he's kind of quoting that same Psalms, isn't he? Putting his enemies underneath his footstool, meaning that he conquered them, right? You put them under your footstool, it's under your feet, same difference, meaning that he conquered them. So it says the last enemy would be what did he say?
Death,
right? And who's conquered death? Jesus conquered death, right? When did he conquer it? When he rose. Yeah. Actually, I would have said yes, but you're right. It is when he rose, after the third day, when he conquered death. Right? So we see here that Jesus fulfills Psalms. You know, Psalms proves that he is God, and then he also fulfilled it. Because, you know, there was a thought that when the Messiah was coming back, he'd just be like this warrior God just come in and destroy Rome. They weren't expecting a Jesus, you know, a man of love and you know, a humble man and coming from, you know, nothing. So these Pharisees were still waiting. They were thinking that they were right, but they were completely wrong. And then we find out in Matthew, we'll go back to Matthew 22 in verse 45 through 46. We'll finish with this. Elena? So we kind of answered what the answer was, what the answer was. But if David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Right? It's because he's God, right? So do you think the Pharisees weren't able to answer, or they didn't want to answer? They didn't want to be wrong. You know, I can be very stubborn. I could relate to these Pharisees. I feel like it's a matter of stubbornness, you know, and I feel like there's a lot of people out there what are feeling like with all these apps, social media, and everything, they could get stubborn in their own intelligence and feeling like, oh no, it's all about me, I know better, and everything. And you get stubbornness, and it's not a good thing. Stubbornness is not a good thing, especially when the truth is right there. The truth, they could see, Jesus just laid it out and said, look here, I mean, you guys are quoting this law, you're quoting Psalms, you know Psalms, and Psalms tells you definitely that I am God. But you don't want to see it. You don't want to answer. You like, you know, it's kind of like they have blinders on. They don't want to look at the truth. They're very stubborn. They weren't able to answer. I think they were able to. I think they saw it and just didn't want to, because if they would see it, they'd know everything they were arguing about earlier. They were in the wrong, and they didn't want to be wrong. I think you're exactly right, Elena, is that they didn't want to be wrong. You know, people, even good Christians, sometimes get in that place, don't you think? Have you ever gotten that place where you know you're wrong, but you don't want to admit it because then it's you're truly wrong. I don't know. It doesn't sound right, but you know, even when you're arguing with somebody, it's like, no, but if I can make them believe I was right, I'm halfway right. You know, there's a point where you feel like, oh, man, but you're right. But we need to not be stubborn, not like these Pharisees, not like the Sadducees, because they get caught up in their intelligence and what they believe, and they won't listen. You know, sometimes we get that way. We get so that, you know, there's the truth out there, but we get stubborn and we have a stronghold in something, but we need to be open to other things. Not bad things, but other things that are the truth about Jesus. You know what I mean? Sometimes we could hear a little bit here and get set in the word, but you know, when we dive deeper, sometimes, oh, okay, it also means this, and we need to be okay with that. Because a lot of times, you guys are pretty soon, some for others, sooner than others, is that going off to college. And college, you'll hit a lot of things, and there's a lot of stumbling blocks out there for Christians. And people will want to tell you different things. Oh, no, evolution is this way, and that's why, you know, because rain hit a rock and we all popped up like daisies. It was great. You know, but when there is the crazy thing, but when they fully believe is that they're so passionate about it, some of their things you're like, well, maybe. But you need to keep the truth. The truth will set you free. Jesus says the truth will set you free. And you need to remember that. And if nothing else, always go back to reference the Bible. Because everything is in here. You know, it's an old book. It was written a long time ago, but it is all there. You know, it doesn't have the same words because we came up with different words for different things, but we just have to look through that and see the truth and ask God and talk with God. Always be talking to God because he'll step you through it. You know, he'll give you the truth. And I know my lesson was fairly short. There's complications, but let's end in prayer. All right. Brendan?